The rest of us, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians chapter 4. When you find that, go ahead and stand together with me. We'll read our text, Philippians chapter 4. With Thanksgiving this week, I was just seeking the Lord about what He would have me to preach today, and so we're going to take just a one-week hiatus from our normal study through the Gospel of John. And for those of you who are guests this morning, we are studying through the book of John, and we just completed, next Sunday we will have just completed chapter 7, and so that's where we are in our study, and we'll resume that next Sunday. But for today, Philippians chapter 4, with the idea of thankfulness, thanksgiving. And so keep that in mind. Begin reading in verse 1 together. Just follow along as I read. We'll read all the way to verse number 7. Verse 1, Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with, say that next word, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And that peace that he speaks of there in verse number 7, that's what we want, isn't it? The peace of God. And there is sort of a tranquility or peace that we can have from time to time when things are going good. But it's nothing like the peace of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the peace that was referred to in this passage passes understanding, meaning you can't really comprehend it. And that's the kind of peace that I want. And I'm hopeful that that's the kind of peace that you want. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to see how thankfulness relates not only to peace, but that word moderation. And we'll see what God might have for you this morning, okay? Let's pray. Father, I pray your blessings, pray your help. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. And you actually told us that. Your word did. And Lord, this morning we woke up and we breathed. We inhaled oxygen into our lungs and we continued to live. And that was a gift from you. Each breath that we take every day is a gift from you. And we're thankful. And God, our loved ones, our own lives, God, are your gift to us each day. And so I pray that today we would keep our hearts in tune with you. I pray as each day continues beyond this one that we would do as you would lead us. And that our lives, our very lives' breaths, our very desires would honor you. We'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Sometimes there are things that happen in the church, believe it or not, that disrupt the unity of God's people. What I mean by that is there are things that happen between us relationally that interrupt our fellowship. So we can't be as close as we were because of what happened. I remember when I was the youth pastor of a youth group, and we took our kids to camp, and a couple of families that had teenagers in the youth group drove down separately with us, and we took this bus with about 40-something kids, and we went to church camp in the summer, it was July, and so got up early one morning, and one of the parents of the kids who was in the bunkhouse with me was a good friend of mine, still is a good friend of mine, and he had driven separate, and I said, hey, can I borrow your wheels? I want to head down and grab a cup of coffee, and then I'll swing back and, you know, go through the day, but I wanted to get a good cup of coffee. I mean, they had coffee on campus, but, I mean, you know, I wanted to go get a good cup of coffee. And so he said, sure, go ahead, just make sure you get me a cup of coffee. And then, of course, I said, of course. I grabbed his keys, hopped in his van, began to pull out, and backed right into a telephone pole. Kaboom! Blew out his taillight, crunched his bumper, pulled back up a little bit, got out. I mean, I sat there for a moment thinking, oh, man. And then I got out, went and looked at it, and it was broken. The bumper was cracked. I picked up the pieces of the taillight off of the ground. I carried it in. He said, where's my coffee? You know? And then I showed him his tailpipe, or tail light, you know. And he was gracious with me. We got a laugh out of it. And we still laugh about it today. And I was thankful for that. But, you know, there are times whenever we have things that happen between us as church members, church family, and when those kind of things happen, there's tension. And that tension can be intense sometimes between you and another church member is what I mean. And so I felt a little tense, and he softened the mood and made some jokes about it, and I was grateful for that. But in the book of the Philippians, when we get to chapter 4, the scene is such that there is tension between some people in the church. As a matter of fact, we have their names. Paul gave us their names, Euodias and Syntyche, these two ladies. And now, I could go off on a thing and say that most of the time, you know, there's maybe issues between two ladies, but that's not the case. It just happens to be in this text that it was between two ladies. And they had apparently, you know, gotten into some kind of tense situation where now they were allowing whatever scenario took place between these two ladies in the church, this tension was creating disunity between the two. And so they were both upset. They were at odds with each other. And so here's what Paul said in verse number 2. Look what he said. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So he's pleading with these two ladies that they would agree with each other in the Lord. As a matter of fact, he uses the word beseech. So not a word we use anymore. But it's like it gives thrust. It gives intensity. It's like Paul is begging them to deal with this matter that they have with each other. He's beseeching them to get right. They were allowing these tensions to make them have bad feelings toward the other lady. Euodias had bad feelings towards Syntyche, and Syntyche had bad feelings towards Euodias, and they were upset. Do you think that with ladies and men, but these are ladies, so we'll just refer to the passage. Do you think that when ladies get upset with each other, it just stops there? No. So there would have been harsh sort of relational communications. Maybe they ignored each other. Maybe they said things to each other and they were sharp. Certainly they were harsh in whatever responses they had. They were upset. And so any time that these two ladies perhaps rubbed shoulders with each other, it would have caused friction. And any time there's a lot of friction, what ends up happening? Fire starts. And it was causing it was really disrupting the unity of the entire church. So much that Paul addresses these two ladies by name in his book. Can you imagine being in the church service? Imagine, ladies, let's say one of you is Euodias and the other of you is Syntyche, and the word of God is read and your name is said from the pulpit. Would you be embarrassed? Paul didn't have any shame about it. This was a big deal. Everybody would have known about it. He's begging them to get things right. He's begging them to take the tension and the things that they were fussing and fighting with each other about and take it to the altar and get things right. But they needed to learn to do something that most Christians are not good at. What is that? Well, they would need to learn how to heal this upset relationship. You can't just go to them and say, "I'm sorry. I've been married for a couple of years. And one thing I figured," see, men, listen, you could punch me in the face. And by the way, I'm going to tell you what happened to my lip later. I did not get punched. All right, it's a good one, but I'll tell you, actually, I have a great illustration. I'm going to show you at the end, okay? Some of y'all have been wondering, what happened to Pastor? Are you in a fight with somebody? Yeah, it was me and a little five-year-old, and he took me out. What was I saying here? Oh, I've been married a few years. And one thing I found out, guys, we could get into a fight with each other, and we're just like, "Dude, I'm sorry." And we're best friends the next day. But ladies, no. I mean, if there is a scuffle or a tiff between you and another lady, it takes a long time for some of that stuff to heal, you know? So what you need is you need biblical understanding. You need some knowledge. You need to have you need to be equipped with the proper biblical understanding of what to do so that you can heal those upset and broken relationships. And so that's what he's doing here. He wants specifically Yodius and Syntyche to learn how to do this. But we need this too. We need this skill. Why? Because that happens here. That happens in Valley Avenue Baptist Church. I mean, there are the potential for upset relationships is 100%. You say, "Oh, you know, it could happen, maybe 50%. No, it's going to happen. We're human beings. We make mistakes, so we need this knowledge. And so he's not just imparting this so that they would figure it out. No, we need it today. And we need to not just, be awed or thankful for the information, but we need to take mental note and maybe literal note so we will remember and if this is happening right now between you and someone else, deal with it. Why? Because it will, and probably already has, and you're blind to it, disrupted the unity of this church. Now, I'm not telling you this because I know something or I don't know something. I might know something, I might not know something. That's not why I'm preaching this sermon, okay? Thanksgiving. We need to be thankful. And I think you already know some where we're going with this. But we need this knowledge. We need to know how to deal with these hurt relationships. So imagine, if you would, when we get to verse number 4, imagine that Paul is engaging in dialogue with Yodius and Syntyche, okay? Imagine these two ladies, they're sitting in their pew, and they got their arms folded, and they're mad at the other one. And they're just thinking about what they did, you know? Or maybe they're trying to not think about it. Whatever the case, there's this division there. And here's what Paul says as they're sitting there. Imagine that he's just talking directly to them. Look at verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." So he calls out, he beckons to them, "Rejoice in the Lord. I know you're angry, I know you're upset, I know there's a fraction in your relationship between Yodius and Syntyche, but listen, I want to give you some information that will help you to learn to rejoice in the Lord always, in all circumstances, at all times. There can be a joy that's there. By the way, we need that, don't we? You go through trials. I could have a hand raised. I'm not going to. You have burdens. Does that apply to you? Can you rejoice in the Lord even though you're going through a trial? Well, apparently you can. And so the same principles applies to those who are going through real, maybe even devastating trials and struggles, emotional, and the burdens are seeming overwhelming, and you're carrying this load, and you're worried, and it's all happening emotionally, and you don't know if you can bear it, and you don't know if you can go on, and you're certainly not thinking about how joyful you are. Paul says, you can. You can. Because he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Always. All circumstances, at all times. It can be done. Verse 5, he said this, let your moderation. Now that word moderation is a key word. So I want you to keep it in mind, okay? We're going to define it here in just a minute. But I want you to keep it in mind. Moderation. It doesn't mean Thanksgiving is coming, so don't eat too much. That's not going to happen anyway. But thankfully, that's not what he's talking about. Moderation. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, you kind of have to get the emotion of Euodias and Syntyche here. Now, these two ladies are really upset with each other. Why? Well, there's an offense. Somebody maybe said or did or didn't say or didn't do something that they should have. Years ago, there was, as a matter of fact, a tension between some loved ones of mine in the church. And they, to this day, still don't talk to each other. And do you know what's amazing about this? Is it's not what they did to each other. It's what the other lady forgot to do. How dare you forget? And now because something wasn't done that was expected, they haven't talked to each other for years. And you think, well, how silly. But that happens. Things happen. And you might not allow those kind of things to separate you and some other relationship, but those kind of tensions do happen in relationships. And it happened here. And so they would have said things about each other. Euodias would have maybe been talking to another lady. Well, don't go around, Syntyche. She is not a good person. By the way, they're both church members talking about the other church member to another church member saying how bad of a person they are. Well, then you go around Syntyche. Oh, yeah, well, don't go around Euodias because if you knew what I knew about her, then you would think differently. That's how they're being. So this is a big deal. And you can imagine the kind of disunity and disruption this is causing in the church. So Paul said, let your moderation be known. Now we got to know what does the word moderation mean. The word moderation means gentleness. Gentleness. So what does the word gentle mean? Well, here's somebody who's gentle. They're approachable, aren't they? Do you know somebody who's, you would characterize that person as gentle? Somebody who lets their moderation be known? They're approachable. They have a sweet spirit of meekness. They're just sweet. You say, oh, that lady right there, that lady is sweet. And you can think of a few names. You could probably write those names down on a piece of paper. And that lady would be gentle, wouldn't she? How about this? They're not rough in their response. Now, sometimes whenever you give the antithesis of something, the anti-definition, rough, they're not rough. Usually you think of who is rough. And the people who are rough in their responses, yeah, you messed up on that, you know, and that's not gentle. And so the people who are soft in their voice. They don't yell. They don't yell. It's somebody who's gentle. Somebody who's temperate. Now, I know that most of you never lose your temper. I know it never really happens there, but somebody who's temperate would be considered somebody who is gentle. Now, I have two examples. One is my grandma, Grandma Moore, who's 90 years old. Bless her heart. I have great memories of Grandma Moore. And my ninth grade basketball coach. Okay, let's talk about Grandma Moore for a minute. My wife is upset about Grandma Moore because she spoiled me because she would literally sit down and scratch my back for a whole hour. Grandma, will you scratch my back? Sure, honey. She just, those soft nails just rubbing up and down my back. I'm like, like a dog, you know, just kicking my leg, you know. My wife, and I'm going to my wife, honey, will you scratch my back? She's like, no. No, she doesn't do that. But she won't do it for an hour, I promise you that. She's like, I can't move my arm. Grandma spoiled me. Ninth grade basketball coach? Nope. I remember lots of yelling. Lots and lots of yelling. No, you didn't do it right. And it wasn't like he just yelled and then gave us another chance. No, if we did it wrong, that means get on the line. Everybody get on the line. You're not doing it right. I'm like, I really tried. Get on the line. And we had to do what was called 10 and 2s. Does anybody know what a 10 and 2 is? Pray. You know what a 10 and 2? Okay, you have to run 10 sprints in 2 minutes. That means you got to go down and back 16 seconds each one. And you think, well, that's not hard. Yeah, once you get to like number 8 and you can't breathe because you're sprinting, you know. And so we had to do a 10 and 2. And if everybody didn't finish it, like completely done with 10 sprints in 2 minutes, and you had to do it again, you know. So you got a ninth grade basketball coach. So here's what we have. We have grandma who's gentle, and we had ninth grade basketball coach. Harsh. And that's what we're talking about here. He says, let your moderation be known to all men, your gentleness, not your harshness. And so he's speaking to Euodias and Syntyche, who are clearly being harsh towards each other. And everybody is seeing this happen. They're not interested in scratching each other's backs. They're just wanting to make sure that the other knows that they're upset with them, not pleased. And so Paul deals with it. He gets onto them. He wants them to be gentle. Now, gentleness can be faked, can't it? Can you come to church and be nice? Yes. So we're not just interested in somebody coming to church and be nice. I don't think God wants that. That's called hypocrisy. And so what needs to happen on the outside with being gentle also needs to happen on the inside. And it starts with the letter P. Peace. In here. Peace between you and the one you're fussing with. Peace between you and God. Peace. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So, God's desire is to heal fractured relationships. God's desire is to strengthen a weak heart who's going through a struggle, who's filled with anxiety and worry, and really struggling with a problem that you're facing in life, overwhelmed by a burden, and he wants to overload you with peace. He wants it to flow from the inside to come to the outside. And there's a lot of dynamics to this, and I could preach a lot here. Obviously, what's happening is that peace that God wants to give you, it flows and builds on top of a relationship. A real relationship and walk with God. There's two kinds of peace. There's a kind of peace that you need this morning if you're not saved. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible speaks of the peace of God. The peace that it's speaking of there is the peace that only can happen when you get saved. It's the peace that God can only give you when you're justified, whenever you're made alive, when you're born again in Jesus. That's the peace between you and God. What's the opposite of peace? What's the opposite of peace? It's war. So when you get saved, the war between you and God is over. But then there's the daily living peace. The peace that passes understanding. The peace that reconciles relational issues. The peace that helps you bear the heavy burdens. That's the peace we're talking about here. He wants to give you a peace. He wants to give you a peace that comes from the inside that passes the understanding of any man. He desires that for you. But the part I want to focus in on, as we consider, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So clearly, this peace that God wants to give you in verse 7 comes from a walk with God. The part I want to focus on is the thankful part. With thanksgiving. And so the word thanksgiving means gratitude. But we're not just grateful people. We're thankful to God. Our thankfulness is directed to God. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So your thankfulness is directed to your Father. And so when we're thankful to the Father, when we go to Him with thankfulness, the Bible says in those moments, God will begin to transform the inside of you. He'll begin to heal and mold back together fractured and broken and relationships that are shattered and have schisms in them. He can do that through a thankful spirit, a thankful heart. I know that my kids are thankful for us. I know they are. Often they say the funniest stuff, you know, and then I bring that to the pulpit. I'm so thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my kids because they give me countless, endless illustrations, you know. But I took Ethan to get a donut the other morning. And we do that throughout the week, you know. They get up early, one of them, and we're going to go get a donut. And so it was Ethan's turn. It was like Thursday. We get up in the morning. We go get a donut. And we're sitting there, and I'm eating mine. We're at Stanton's Lake. It's still dark outside because it's early, and we're looking at the lake, and we're just eating our donut. And he said the funny thing. He said, "Dad, who's going to take me to get a donut when you die?" I said, but he can have a whole conversation with himself. Before I could even say something, he said, "Oh, Mom will take me." And he said, "No, Mom can't take me because she's going to die first because she's older than you." And then he just kept talking to himself. And then he said, "And then you'll be in heaven with her." And he's having this conversation talking about who's going to go have a donut with him after I die. You know, it's funny. It's funny what 6-year-old, 7-year-old kids say. But I know he loves that time. And I know when he becomes an adult and he looks back, he's going to say, "Man, I'm glad for that." And I'm going to look back. And each morning that I got up with one of the boys, I'm going to look back and say, "Man, I'm glad we did that." And often, we don't even talk to each other. You know, like they could talk to themselves. But it depends, you know, if it's Andrew, we'll eat the donut. We won't even talk. In fact, Andrew and I got a donut this morning. And we're sitting there. I think like 10 words were said. And we're just together. And I'm thankful for them. They're thankful for me. And I can see that. And often, I think what happens whenever we go through trials and struggles and there's schisms in relationships, do you know the one thing that often escapes us? Is anything that we would be thankful to God for about that person that we're upset with? That happens, doesn't it? We're a family, church. We are a family. Do you ever get upset with your siblings? Moms out there, do your kids ever get upset at each other? Listen, it happens. We're human beings. We think differently. Our lives are, you know, going different directions in a sense, but yet at the same time, all going the same direction because we have God. So we're different. There's things that are going to happen and friction's going to be there. And when it happens, you know what often leaves? Whew. Anything that we might be thankful about that person. It happens in marriages, doesn't it? Husbands, wives. You get upset with your spouse. Last Sunday, Melissa and I apologize I didn't give you a heads up about this. I completely forgot about it, to be honest with you. But we were in Glenwood, Iowa, and we were privileged to preach there. And it was a great day, and Brother Chad did wonderful here. I know he did. And so when we got home, Sunday night, it was late. We just drove on home. Glenwood's an hour and a half away. So we got home, and we walked in. The house was cold. Ooh. So I opened the fireplace. I'm going to start a fire. But I'm kind of new to the fireplace thing since we just got it this year. And I forgot that if the flue, and our flue is really long, like 40 feet tall, the air in the flue is super cold, so the pressure will push all that smoke back in the house. You gotta let the fire sort of push that cool air out before you start a big fire, right? Well, I started a fire, and smoke started billowing out into the house. I'm like, what's happening? And then there's friction. I don't know why. I mean, it happens sometimes between us, my wife and me. And she actually was really gracious, and I was proud of her because she didn't get upset hardly at all. I mean, internally she probably was, but she didn't let it come out. But that kind of stuff happens in marriage relationships, and there's friction there. Do you know what we often do when we get upset with our spouse? Oh, we're just so gentle, aren't we? We're so gentle. Right there. That's what happens right there. No. We're not very gentle, are we? We're harsh. Harsh. We get harsh with our spouse. Oh, don't act like you don't do this. Don't sit there. Well, my spouse and me, we never do that. No, yes, you do. But you know what you should do? You should be gentle. Let your moderation be known to all men. Genuine peace. How? How? What are you thankful for? Because whenever you get upset at your spouse, if you will make yourself stop and think about what you're thankful for about your spouse, do you know everything will change in your spirit? It really will. You say, no, it won't. Yeah, it will. Thankful people are gentle people. It's kind of catchy, isn't it? Good thing I put it on the front of your bulletin. Thankful people are gentle people. You get harsh, do you know what you're not? You're not thankful. That's why you're harsh. You're being harsh with somebody because you forgot to be thankful. Any of you struggle getting harsh with your kids? You ever yell at your kids? You ever say something and you have to go back later? Man, I shouldn't have been like that. I'm sorry. You know? Good thing you go back and say, I'm sorry. But we forget to be thankful for our kids. You know, that's one reason I get up in the mornings and go get a donut with the kids, because I don't want to look back and say, I wish I did. I want to look back and say I was thankful, you know? Listen, I got a long ways to go, so don't put me up here on some kind of a pedestal. I don't mean that. I don't mean to even come across like that, because often I get harsh with my own kids. And you know what? You know why that happens for me? Because I forgot to be thankful. But kids never get harsh with their parents. You kids, there's a few teens in here. Look, we never get harsh with our parents. Those kids never talk back. They never say hateful things. They never do that kind of stuff. Maybe they do. They're not very gentle. Sometimes the kids aren't so gentle with their parents, are they? Forgot to be thankful. Touches my heart. When the kids at devotions time and we're giving blessings, and the boys, every so often, they'll say, you know what, I'm just thankful for mom and dad. That's sweet. And it changes the friction, doesn't it? Begins the process of healing when we can be thankful to God with the person we're upset with. Because there's always something we can be thankful for. Thankful. We started this thing off talking about Yodius and Syntyche. They were church members. And it might be, look, it might be that some of you have gotten upset with somebody else in this church. One of you is Yodius and one of you is Syntyche. You're not talking to each other. You're not close. Your feelings, you might not say it because we've learned how to be nice, but your feelings are harsh. Why? Because you forgot to be thankful. You forgot to be thankful. When you become thankful, then you genuinely get peace. You get peace. He said that, right? Peace. And real gentleness. The harshness goes away from the inside out. Thankful. Let me just tap on a couple of more, okay? Your neighbor. Some of you might need to change your attitude about your neighbor. Your coworker. Some of you might need to change your attitude about your coworker. You say, well, I don't have much to be thankful for about my coworker. You know what? I bet you if you got on your knees and you asked God, He would help to open your eyes to something you could be thankful for. And then your spirit would begin to change. And God would help you to become gentle. Valley Avenue Baptist Church needs to be known as a church that is full of gentle people. Can I have your attention? We got to stop being harsh with each other. It has to stop. It causes friction. Not just the kind of friction that we can get over. No. It divides the church. It will divide relationships and ultimately will divide the church. And if you're harsh, you have to stop. You have to stop. The information that Paul has given to us is the key ingredient to stopping a harsh spirit and becoming gentle. Thankfulness. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for turkey. I'm thankful for dressing. I'm thankful for noodles and mashed potatoes. Amen to that. I'm thankful for you. And there's something about all of you that I'm thankful for. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. You know, when you can say that, it just takes all the friction away. Doesn't it? We got to become thankful, church. We got to become thankful, and we got to stop with the harshness. It has to stop. Yodius, Syntyche, let's get it right. Let's get it right. Father, thank you for your word, and I think about those that perhaps this morning are lost, and they don't have peace with you. They don't have salvation. And maybe there's a burden there, a struggle with wondering if they were to die today, where would they go? I pray you'd bring conviction. I pray you'd touch them and help them to see their need. Lord, it might be that somebody here this morning is struggling in a relationship or carrying a heavy burden and they need peace. They want to have that gentleness. They want the harshness to go away. I pray, God, you'd help to change their mind about what they're thankful for. I pray you give them a practical touch from your word and your spirit to know exactly what to do. There's always, always something to be thankful for. And I pray you'd help us to focus on that. I pray you'd heal relationships this morning. I pray you'd heal any schism that might be or fracture that might be between any of our people. And maybe we need to go home and call a loved one, a relative, get with a neighbor, a friend, or a coworker. Maybe we need to get with our spouse. We might need to pull our kids aside. Just tell them how thankful for we are for them. I pray, God, that you'd help us to take the proper steps as you lead us. And it's in your precious name I pray and ask. Amen. Let's stand together. Miss Marilyn's going to play the organ. If you need to do business with God, the altar is open for you. You don't have to be embarrassed. It's open so you can pray. No one will disrupt you. You can just go to God. You can pray right here. And do business with God, and it might be that's just what you need to do. And as the organ plays, the altar is open for you.